The Gulf of California is one of the world's most productive and diverse fishing regions. Thousands of families in Mexico and the U.S. depend on the more than 900 fish, invertebrate, and whale species that call these waters home. While the Gulf of California supports over 70% of Mexico's fishing industry, it also plays host to many endangered marine species. But Mexico has a history of lax fishing regulation enforcement, and now overfishing of one endangered fish is driving the world's smallest porpoise, the vaquita, toward extinction. Andy Reid is a professor of marine biology at Duke University and a member of the International Committee for the Recovery of the Vaquita and the IUCN Cetacean Specialist Group, and he explained the situation to Living on Earth's Emmett Fitzgerald.
So first off, tell us a little bit about this porpoise. What is the vaquita?
Well, it's one of the six species of porpoises. It's the smallest porpoise and thus the smallest whale. It reaches only a length of about 4 or 5 feet. It's found exclusively in the upper Gulf of California, completely in Mexican waters. And it's also the most endangered whale, population of certainly less than 100 individuals left now. And we're very concerned about its status.
Yeah, so tell me about that. What are those primary threats to the vaquita?
The vaquita lives in an area that's intensively fished by Mexican fishermen from 3 villages in the upper Gulf of California. And so for a long time, it's being caught accidentally in nets set for shrimp or other fish. And this has driven the population from a size of something around 500 about 20 years ago to a very small population of less than 100 today. Exacerbating that decline, though, recently has been entanglement in nets that are set illegally for another endangered species. This is an endangered species of fish called the totoaba, a large croaker or sea bass. And the bladders from that fish are taken and dried and smuggled from Mexico, sometimes through the United States to China, where they're used in traditional medicine.
So basically, the commercial take of one endangered fish species is not only harming that species, but driving another porpoise to extinction as well.
Exactly. And it's important to remember that it's an illegal fishery because the totoaba itself is endangered and it's been protected by the government of Mexico for a couple of decades now. So it's illegal to catch totoaba. It's illegal to trade totoaba on the international market. So we're really looking at an illegal fishery and an illegal smuggling venture that is driving one species to extinction.
So tell me a little bit about the totoaba. What's the incentive to harvest these fish illegally?
Right. They're very large fish. They're a little bigger than the vaquitas are, actually, about 2 meters long, 6 feet long. And they're a croaker, and so they produce sound by stridulating against their swim bladder. So their swim bladders are pretty big, and fishermen can receive up to about $8,500 per kilo of dried totoaba swim bladder. So there's an enormous incentive for fishermen to set nets illegally for these totoaba. And for reasons that we don't completely understand, vaquitas seem particularly vulnerable to entanglement in nets that are set for these large croakers. So a fisherman who might catch 4 or 5 totoaba in his net might also catch one of the last vaquitas as well. And we're worried that that accidental mortality, that bycatch of vaquitas, is what's going to drive them to extinction.
Yeah. And it's hard, you know, thinking from the perspective of a fisherman in Mexico, it's hard to blame the individual fisherman for making a decision like that when there's so much money to be made. From your perspective, how do you handle the fact that this is a logical economic choice for a fisherman in Mexico?
It's a very difficult question. I think we need to help the Mexican authorities ensure that fishing can be done on a sustainable basis in the Upper Gulf. And fishing totoaba, the way that it's being prosecuted now, is just not going to be sustainable over the long term. The fish stock itself can't sustain the level of mortality that it's experiencing. So we need to help those communities develop sustainable fisheries so that they can continue to live and make a living from the Upper Gulf. And that's fishing in different ways, fishing species that can sustain the fishing pressure that will provide for those communities.
What protections and regulations are in place in Mexico to help stop the illegal take of the totoaba and thus the vaquita bycatch as well?
Well, I'd have to say that the government of Mexico has really stepped up to try and protect the vaquita. Earlier this decade, they established a vaquita refuge in which gillnet fishing was banned. So the vaquitas would have been safe in there had there not been illegal fishing for totoaba. And earlier this year, President Peña Nieto announced a 2-year program in which pretty much all net fishing was going to be banned from the upper Gulf of California. And that's an expensive program. There's more than $30 million compensation going to fishing families and fishing industries in the Upper Gulf. So that's on the legal side of things. The illegal fishing really just requires enforcement. And so when the president of Mexico went to San Felipe in April to announce the program, he also brought with him several new patrol boats that the Mexican Navy is using to try and combat this illegal fishing. But it's a large area. You know, there are a lot of fishermen, and it's difficult to eliminate a fishery like that, especially one that's so lucrative. So we're very concerned that the enforcement efforts won't be sufficient and that vaquitas will continue to die in nets set for Tituaba.
What can the United States do, or what is the United States doing to try to save the vaquita?
Well, the United States is doing several things. First of all, scientists from the National Marine Fisheries Service are working with their Mexican colleagues to help assess the status of vaquita. There'll be a survey conducted later this year jointly by researchers from Mexico and from the U.S. government. The U.S. is also working to try and intercept illegal shipments of Tituaba bladders from Mexico to China. And so there have been several cases recently in which Tituaba bladders have been seized. So the folks at the border are doing what they can to try and stem the flow. But again, it's very difficult to eliminate that. And as long as there's a path from Mexico to China somehow, there'll be an incentive for fishermen to set their nets illegally in the Upper Gulf.
What can be done in terms of the fishing gear itself to try to reduce bycatch of these endangered species like the vaquita?
Right, that's a good question. So the government of Mexico, together with several NGOs, environmental NGOs, have been working to develop more environmentally sustainable ways of fishing in the Upper Gulf. So most of the shrimp and the fish that are harvested there are caught with what we refer to as gill nets. And these are long panels of nets that are just left in the water to entangle fish and shrimp. And so we've been trying to promote alternative ways to catch fish and shrimp that would not capture vaquita. And those primarily are small trawls that are dragged behind the pongas, the fishing boats that fishermen in the Upper Gulf use. And the vaquitas are able to avoid those nets. And so there's much less chance of a vaquita becoming killed in one of those nets than in one of these entangling gill nets.
And do you think it's likely that that kind of technology could be rolled out across the fishing fleet?
I think it's a big ask in the kind of 2 years that we have in the program that Mexico's announced so far, but it's not impossible. But again, even if we're successful doing that, if the illegal fishing for Tituaba continues, I think that will be enough to drive the species to extinction, regardless of what we do with all the legal fisheries in the area.
At this point, how do you rate their chances for recovery, the vaquita?
Very good question. I refuse to give up. And, you know, there was a sighting of a vaquita in the Gulf earlier this year. I'm really interested to see what the survey encounters later this year. I try to be optimistic that the enforcement efforts will be sufficient to stop the illegal fishing, but we really are at the last second of the last minute for the species. It's very dire.
Why do you think it's important to work to save a species like this? You know, there's so many different dolphins and porpoises. What makes the vaquita unique? Or in general, why is it important to save a particular species?
Well, I think there are a couple of reasons for the vaquita. First of all, it's Mexico's porpoise. It's not found anywhere else. It's endemic to the Upper Gulf of California. So if we lose it, Mexico will never have another porpoise, and the people of Mexico will have lost part of their biodiversity in really what is a completely preventable manner. And then secondly, I think, you know, each time we lose a species, this will be the second species of dolphin we will have lost in 25 years. We lost the Baiji, a little river dolphin, in China fairly recently. It's just another piece of the biodiversity of the earth that we're losing. And I think we need to fight against each loss, species by species, population by population.
Marine biologist Andy Reid of Duke University spoke with Living on Earth's Emmett Fitzgerald.